The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So these past weeks, we've been exploring the theme of the paramis. Paramis means something along the lines of supreme qualities or perfections. And these qualities, these 10 qualities, are understood, at least in the Asian tradition, of being qualities that really support us to meet our daily lives, meet what's happening in the world, meet what's happening in our lives. And these qualities are generosity, ethics, renunciation or letting go, wisdom, energy, patience, truthfulness, resolve or determination, loving kindness, and equanimity. And I think it's really poignant in a way that we're exploring these qualities at this particular time in our world, since there's so much pain happening out there. Some of you may have heard, some of you may not have heard. There was another terrorist attack today in France during the Bastille Day celebrations in Nice. 77 people were killed. And how do we, I mean, at this point, you know, it's like I check, at this point I feel like at this time, these weeks, I have been checking my, the New York Times before I come to teach, just to see, is there something that's happened? And I just found out about this a few hours ago, so I don't know the details, but you know, I do have this feeling of so much of what we're doing here, so much of what we're exploring here at this center is about what does it mean to meet all of this suffering? How do we stay open? That's the question that came to me today. You know, how do we stay open? How do we not shut down? How do we meet the suffering? And actually, though, also honor our own place in the world, our own experience, our own capacity to meet things. It's not easy, especially after week after week after week of such news coming. And so, you know, my theme for tonight is energy. And, you know, in some ways it feels appropriate because it's like there can be, at least I'm feeling a little bit of a tendency to collapse with all of this news. And so that how do we not collapse? How do we keep the energy oriented towards being with ourselves, being with the news, being with the world? Really, the place in the paramis are understood as kind of leading to each other. Each one supports the next, and the next kind of feeds back and informs and supports the one before it. And so right in the middle here of the list are wisdom, energy, and patience. So wisdom to orient our practice towards opening our hearts to what is. That includes what is in the world as well as what is in our own hearts and minds. How do we, the wisdom, kind of in a succinct way, can be understand suffering. Recognize, not in a thinking about way, but recognizing it in our own hearts, in our own experience. Can we understand how suffering is created? What is the experience of suffering? Not who's doing what and why are they doing it, but here is, this is landing. How do I meet this? And so how are you right now? This is how I began the meditation. You know, how are you? And can however you are be allowed, opened to? At the end of the talk last week, I pointed to this practice of mindfulness that's informed by wisdom. Basically, it is a no part left out kind of practice. And so we explore the possibility of opening to just whatever is here in this moment. That may be a feeling of collapsing. That may be anger. That may be frustration. That may be confusion. That may be numbing out. And that also can be met and opened to. It's like this practice of mindfulness is a all-inclusive exploration. And so we don't have to feel like we have to change how we are in response to what's happening in order to be aware of it, in order to meet it in a skillful way. You know, we have to not have aversion or greed or confusion about what's happening in our own experience. And so this practice of mindfulness is an opening to that. It's like, okay, this is what's happening right now. Can we land with just this? And the energy piece, you know, there's different sides to the energy. Last time I talked about how we direct our energy towards cultivating these beautiful qualities, the qualities of the paramis. We direct our energy in that, we cultivate energy in that direction. We look at what it means to let go of and orient towards maybe letting be of difficult qualities in our mind. And that's a lot of our practice. When anger arises or frustration arises or numbness arises or confusion arises, we're probably not going to be able to just say to it, you know, oh, I see that's not helpful. Or we may not even believe that it's not helpful in that moment. You know, it's like that in that moment, the possibility exists of opening to that as a skillful way of, it's like the mindfulness of it is a letting be, so that we can begin to learn and understand what's happening in here. What is this numbness? What is this confusion? What is this pain, this sorrow, this sadness? And so the mindfulness and the energy is oriented towards this kind of simple a perspective of cultivating qualities that support us in skillfully meeting the world and support us in letting go and letting be those qualities that kind of tie us up in knots and have us reactive, ready to lash out. You know, we see so clearly, I mean, in the last month, you know, so clearly how acting out of anger and hatred brings so much suffering in the world. And so that possibility, not of shutting down anger when it arises in our hearts, but of, it's like allowing our mindfulness to kind of hold it And that very holding is a form of protection and a form of care that allows some transformation to begin to happen. It also protects us from reactively moving out of that space at times. And so that's one side of the effort and the energy parami, is that orienting in that direction. Another side of the energy is, how do we keep going? How do we keep meeting what is? In the simpler times of our lives, or times where things have settled, we're not so bombarded, it's not even easy then to maintain a kind of a continuity of practice. You know, when there's just the simplicity of, oh, I can be with breathing in and breathing out. It's like we do that and we see that our energy kind of gets caught by something else, gets caught by some habit or some opinion or view or thought. And so how do we keep going? You know, what is that? So the energy is partly around the, and this is really a place of delicacy in our practice. In a way, it's kind of we may tend to either, like, you know, want to just try to, like, I am going to stay with this practice, or we just, like, give up. And there's something in the middle, a place where, you know, how are you right now in this moment? Can you know that? Very, you know, it's however you are in this moment. Can you know that? Can you just simply know that? And now, again, you know, again, can you know it now? Just the moment, a simple moment of knowing that is a form of kind of energy coming to our mindfulness. We connect. We know this is how it is in this moment. And actually, even with a painful or challenging emotion, even with something, a numbing out or a wanting to push away or not be here, in a moment, it's not so hard to know that. For just a moment, it's not so hard to know that. We can know, how are we right now? And that is really the way energy and effort can work in this practice. In a moment, can you just be with this, however it is for you in this moment, and then do it again? Oh, heaviness. Seeing. Aching. Sadness. Just in a moment, can you just know that? And just a very light, a light touch of meeting whatever's here. I think that often with effort and energy, we may tend to kind of try to grab on and say, okay, well, how am I? Well, I'm really going to be with this, or I'm going to dive into this. And that level of doing or holding, it's almost like we're trying to stay with something for longer than this moment. It's like, yeah, I'm going to stay with this. But all there is this moment. And so the amount of energy or effort that we need to put in is just enough to be here for now. And then we have to remember to do it again. And again, and again. It's like we just have to keep reminding ourselves to be aware. It's actually not very difficult to be aware. It's a kind of a very natural function of our minds, no matter what is happening for us. We can be aware very easily for a moment. So how are you right now? Are you aware right now? And again, now, are you aware? There can be definitely, you know, ideas and images and narratives that we're living that have a very strong momentum to them, that kind of, you know, we have an image that arises or a narrative that arises, and it's like it's got a tidal force wave of power that takes us away from the present moment. And sometimes that will happen. And sometimes when that happens, we might be able to just remind ourselves, okay, yep, just keep being here. Just, it's like sometimes when those forces are strong, it's like we have to remind ourselves more frequently. But it's not like trying to grab on to staying present. And so the art of the effort is very gentle. It's more about how often do we keep reminding ourselves, can I be here? Can I be here? This too, this too, this too, over and over again. Something support this possibility of this too, meeting this moment. I think one of the first that really supports that is a sense of recognition of the value and the power of being present, of witnessing. That's something that grows for each of us, I think, over the life of our practice. The understanding of how potent this force of being present actually is. It's potent for ourselves. The possibility of being here in the midst of something very challenging for ourselves. Witnessing for ourselves that's like this. It's potent for the world. This capacity to be with and not shy away from the pain. This heart that can understand the value of being present, understands that this heart can both meet suffering and joy. This heart can be stretched to include both compassion and joy and love, held with equanimity. And so understanding the value that this presence, the sense of being here brings, even for a moment, it can be very powerful. You know, for ourselves too. I mean, you know, we all want to be seen, witnessed. It's like this feeling of wanting to be seen or mirrored or met. It's a very deeply human wish. And we can do that for ourselves with this power of mindfulness, meeting a moment. It's quite amazing. And so the value, understanding the value of this presence, this moment of bringing this, here, 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 this, am I aware? That energy, understanding the value of that, supports the commitment, I think, to keep going, to keep trying, and to try again when we inevitably get caught and lost or space out or go into some fantasy. We start again at some point. The mindfulness will return. The great part of that moment is that it didn't take any energy. It just happened. And so we might be able to connect to the kind of energy that arose with it. We didn't have to do that energy. It was energy arising with the mindfulness. A moment of mindfulness happened that we didn't have to create. And so we might be able to kind of begin to get the sense of that moment of energy and mindfulness arising and then ride that wave a little bit to be with the experience. And so this is one support, the understanding the value. Trust, related to that, I think, is trust or confidence of that we can do it, that it leads, it's onward leading in a direction that helps us move away from struggle and suffering and towards compassion, kindness, wisdom, freedom, generosity. And so that sense of confidence that, you know, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to do this. Wisdom also supports us here, a sense of understanding. Again, it's understanding the value. It's understanding that if I sink into reactivity, the mind gets enmeshed and tangled. And we start to understand that we feel suffering in that enmeshed and tangled place. And it contributes enmeshed entanglement to the world. And so we begin to understand again the value of this. That it is supportive for us to have this sense of presence, to be here, to witness. And the next parami this leads to is patience. To me, this is very much, it speaks to the I kind of just need to just keep gently reminding ourselves, keep going, keep going, keep going. Energy, that the energy of meeting each moment needs a patience to not get, it's not, you know, this is not easy. It's not easy in any time to keep going. And so there's a kind of a sense of recognizing, yes, you know, mind got lost again. It's okay. I start again. The willingness to start again, the willingness to be patient, not only with ourselves and our own minds, but I think also this patience speaks to the willingness to not give up on the world. And we can't give up on the world in a way. It's the world we have. And yet we can collapse. You know, it's like we can just kind of feel like it's too much. And so the patience, the quality of patience can help us to just remember, you know, this is how it is. This too, this is how it is. Sometimes I'm helped with patience, and you know, I'll probably explore patience more in a few weeks because it deserves a lot of its own time. Something that helps me with patience is, and meeting difficulty, is recollecting or remembering that whatever is happening in this world to beings has happened to beings before. People I don't know exactly why that. I think there's something about the sense of, right, it's not, it's like it's not new. It's humanity unfolding. And some of it is really beautiful. And some of it is really painful. And it's been doing this since we've been here on this world, in this world. And beings continue. I feel for myself that the Buddhist teachings have offered me some kind of place of balance in the middle of it, to allow my heart not to contract, but to be open with whatever's happening. I think sometimes there's a confusion maybe when something really painful happens. You know, it's like, there are really beautiful things happening today too, I'm sure of it. New life has come into this world today. Someone is celebrating the birth of their first child. Can we hold that at the same time that we hold 77 people losing their lives in a terrorist attack? Can we hold them both? The heart kind of has to stretch to hold both. It's not. And so this is, you know, this is where patience can come in too. It's like, right, I feel the mind feels like it's ricocheting between these two. It how does it hold both of them? Patience with how hard it is. Meeting the world, opening to no part left out, is not a simple task. And in the paramis, I feel there's two that I really, over and over again, remind myself of, right? Patience and resolve. Patience to keep going, just keep remembering and appreciating the value of this simple practice to just come back and be present for what's here. And resolve to keep going, because it is not easy. It takes some degree of determination to keep meeting the experience of ourselves in the world. So I want to open it up for questions or discussion. Anything that anybody wants to reflect on or explore.
Thank you for this talk. When you were describing the qualities, you know, you often went back to the patience to keep with the practice, you know, resolve. But some part of my mind was hearing your entire talk as all of those things happen to apply to life.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes.
The patience to keep going in face of difficulties and resolve to face it. I was wondering if you can kind of talk a little bit about that and also you know, if you take anything that's really, really challenging, whether it's the terrorist attacks or, you know, there are lots of very challenging things that happen in life, is it Are you talking about during the practice, opening to that? Or are you going to be asking yourself all day long, how I am, and, you know, I feel, I have anger, and you know, whether it's an event or, you know, personal problems. So I'm a little confused about that.
So I'll try to speak to some of that. So I agree with you. I mean, I think the whole framing of these 10 qualities is that they are skillful qualities with which we can meet life, whatever's happening in life. So we can think about how we might use these qualities to meet the suffering of a terrorist attack, or the frustration and confusion and anger around racism, or just our own, you know, frustrations around our own physical, mental well-being. So they're all useful in all of the different levels of life, essentially. And I think partly why is because really, life is unfolding only now. This is all there is. This moment is all that there is. And it's like everything that we know, it's like, for me in this moment, it's like it feels like this moment is big in some ways, because it's encompassing, you know, thoughts about what's happened today and the last few weeks. And so, you know, it's like the picture, the kind of what's being held in the mind feels large. And yet all of it is happening now. And how I am with it is happening now. And so that's a piece of it, you know, that whatever we meet, however we meet the world, the only place we meet it is now. And so that skill, and so this is again coming back to the value of learning that skill of meeting what's here. And that includes, it's not, so this is maybe where it gets expanded a little bit. You know, it's like sometimes we think about, okay, what's mindfulness? It means closing my eyes and, you know, feeling into my body. It's like mindfulness is no part left out. It includes the thoughts of what's happened in the world today, and the emotional response to that, and the ideas about what might happen tomorrow as a result of this. It includes it all. And so that's what we explore opening to in this moment. Not, you know, so sometimes I think we get this very narrow idea about what practice is, and this, I feel like, really blows it open. It's everything. And so that, you know, if we're looking at no part left out, that really is no part left out. And also a piece that I've gained quite a bit of confidence in over the last 20 years of practice is that the capacity and the ability to meet what's happening now, in its all of its messiness and all of its largeness and all of its confusion, the ability to meet this, which includes my thoughts and ideas and emotions and views and information coming in from the world, the ability to meet this now in the moment, maybe in a very simple way, like, wow, it's chaos right now. That's what it feels like, chaos right now. Just that ability to meet now is the best preparation that we can make to meet whatever unfolds in the future. And so that's, you know, so it is coming back to this, what's happening now, but maybe with a broader perspective about what that means, so that it can include everything. Really, it includes, I mean, this moment includes the world.
See, the way you set up the meditation initially with this poem and explaining this, my mind went naturally to that. Like, you know, you were talking about the practice, but I was really applying everything that you were saying to life in general.
Yeah.
this kind of idea of having the courage to not leave anything out inside and outside. That takes a lot of courage.
I'm so happy you brought that word in. Courage. Because that word, courage, is another translation of the Pali term that is used for energy. And so really, virya is the Pali term that's often translated as energy, but another definition of it is courage of heart. And so that's a beautiful way to explore too. What does it mean to have the courage to be here for this? Is that energy to meet the moment? Thank you. Thank you for bringing that in. Yeah.
Let me see if I can frame this. Last week you brought up a really interesting concept to me that if you have an emotion arise and you just recognize it, have an awareness of it, that can be very helpful. So I have practiced that and found that that has been true for me. And tonight you touched on that also, just bringing up awareness of your feelings, becoming aware of your feelings, is a source of confidence. And actually, my understanding of what you said is that it is also healing the world if you do that. So my question then, where I tend to go from there, is from confidence to having faith that there is some order, there is some meaning, but my experience of Buddhist philosophy is that faith is not discussed very much. And so I'm wondering how that fits into your interpretation of being aware in the moment and whether that leads to a feeling of confidence that things will work out, that things will have their place in the progression of a picture that's intended.
The faith in the Buddhist world, it actually has a very foundational place. There's a list called the five faculties, which essentially are five qualities that support the mind to be present, and they include faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. And the faith there, it's like, what do we have faith in? It's the wisdom that the Buddha points to. It's two sides to it, I see. So the wisdom, so part of the faith is kind of the sense of, maybe even three parts. part of the faith is the faith that what the Buddha expressed, what he taught, is worth exploring. That sense of faith will actually carry us onto the practice. And so this is the way in which faith leads to energy. You know, that so I think I talked about this last week. You know, when I first met the Buddha's teaching, I was suffering a lot with anger. And I read, somebody sent me a book, and I read that book, and I didn't understand a lot of it. But this is one of the benefits, or one of the beautiful things about the Buddha's wisdom. It's like you just need a little tiny piece of it to connect to. And if you use that piece or have some sense of confidence in that little piece or some sense of willingness to engage that little piece, it begins to open out into understanding a broader range of what he offered. And so for myself, I got this little bit of wisdom from that book, something along the lines of what I expressed tonight. Try being present for your difficult emotion instead of acting on it. And, you know, so there was that instruction, and I had no clue. I wouldn't say I had confidence in its truth, because I had no sense or understanding at all of how that would be useful. And I didn't have anybody to ask either. I was in the South Pacific. I was in the Peace Corps. I was 7,000 miles away from a Dharma teacher. but I read that in this book, and I had kind of hit bottom, and so I was willing to try. So that was a form of confidence in a way. It's like, okay, so this, somebody says this is useful. I can't see how it would work, but I'm willing to run the experiment and see. And so that's one form of faith, you know, to listen to the teachings, listen to what is offered, and be curious, is this something that I feel I'd like to apply? And so that's a piece of faith there. And then there's a piece of faith around our capacity to engage, our sense that, yes, I actually can sit in the middle of anger and know it's anger and just, oh, yeah, the anger's happening. That's possible. And, wow, it actually has an effect on what's going on. And that feeds the faith. It's like the first few times I sat with that anger, over the first few weeks of sitting with that anger, I began recognizing there was a transformation happening. I was not getting as enraged as I had been before, and it was much more workable. And so there was some confidence that was feeding back from the experience. And so that's another piece of the confidence. So there's confidence in what the Buddha teaches. There's confidence in our capacity. And then maybe the most fundamental form of confidence is confidence in the truth of the present moment. That what is happening is what is happening. So much of our experience lies in resisting the truth of what is happening. So some of that confidence has to do with, or faith has to do with, this being can meet what is happening in this moment. But it also, to me, points to or reflects back on, you know, so what's happening in this moment? In this moment, what is already here, let's say, what is already here? It's already here. It couldn't be another way because it has happened. And that doesn't mean that we just kind of sit down and collapse about the future, but that we open to the truth of, right, you know, this moment has come to be in this way. And can we recognize, yes, here it is. So there's a kind of a trust, a confidence. Different words, I think, sometimes are used for faith. Trust, confidence, faith. And for me, trust is the one that resonates most deeply in that aligning with just the truth of what's here in this moment. It's like resisting the truth is not helpful because it's not aligning ourselves with what's actually here. Now, sometimes there's a confusion about that in that, okay, well, if I'm not going to resist the truth, that means that I don't take any action. But paradoxically, what I find not resisting the truth results in is a heart that actually wants to move forward out of wisdom and compassion, but not out of reactivity, hatred, anger, confusion. And so there's some degree of trust or confidence there. What trust in this Buddhist practice doesn't mean is trust that it's going to work out the way I want it to. It does not mean that. So, you know, that's, you know, it doesn't even mean trust that, yeah, I'll be here tomorrow. I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow. But there's a deep sense of more coming for me, a deep sense of I can meet whatever comes. And that meeting whatever comes with a heart that is non-reactive, that's the best way to meet that moment. And will have the most power both for myself and for the world, however I meet that. And so, you know, trust in the Buddhist realm isn't, it's not a trust in an external deity or an external power. It's not a trust that everything will become better and better. So it's a different kind of faith, and it comes back to the faith that meeting this moment creates the conditions for a heart of non-constriction that is a deeply I guess honest is a word that comes to mind. It's a deeply honest meeting of this, where the heart is not fighting it, and yet also not collapsing in it. It's a paradoxical thing to describe, you know, what it is that is that we have trust in, that we have faith in this practice. But it's actually quite a piece of what the Buddha talked about. Yeah.
So the message that I am getting from your response is that letting go leads to freedom, period. And there's no...
And what we think of as freedom now, what we might conceive of as freedom, probably doesn't bear any relationship to what freedom actually is. It's like what our ideas about what it might mean to not be reactive and to be free from reactive. Our ideas about that may not bear much resemblance to what the actuality of it is.
And that there's no need for expectation, which is actually counterproductive.
There's different kinds of expectation. You know, I would say there's a conventional expectation, a conventional, like, planning our lives that does have to go on. But the kind of attaching to, it's kind of like I'm planning to teach this retreat this Saturday. I'm going off to teach a retreat, and I'm expecting that that will happen. And so there's a kind of conventional form of that planning and the work that I need to do to make that happen and all of that that happens. But the expectation kind of gets solidified. If the expectation gets solidified around it needing to happen or having to happen a certain way or having to be a certain way in it, that's where that's not so helpful. And so, it's a kind of a delicate, but let's say we can have a direction that we're headed, which we might normally look at as expectation or, you know, but so there's a direction that we can be heading, but be very open to that it can go any which way. Yeah, so I think in the way that you were talking about it, I would say yes, the expectations aren't helpful. Yeah, but I wanted to clarify that because, again, it may come back to the thing of people feeling like, well, okay, if I really just open to things as they are, why would I do anything? You know, why would I do anything? And it doesn't end up being that way. Yeah, thank you. Maybe time for one more. Sure.
I just want to tie this back to the terrorist attacks. So is it that... So if we take that there is no expectation, then it's not faith that this is going to stop and not happen again. So is it more that, you know, you're suggesting being able to keep an open heart and deal with it in ourselves, and kind of, is it having faith that the world can do that collectively?
I think to some extent that's my faith. I mean, it's possible. I mean, it's like, it would be lovely, yes, you know, if even everybody decided in this moment to follow through just on the first precept, to refrain from killing, and not even not killing all beings, but just not killing human beings. If everybody on the planet in this moment said, yes, I sign up for that, that's conceivable. Whether it will happen, I don't think so. But there's that kind of open to that. That's possible. It is possible. And so there's a kind of a sense of possibility there that that my contribution to that is my following that. My contribution to that is my ethical behavior and my opening to, my being willing to open to what's here. It's time to stop. So, thank you.